On a bleak winter day, it'd be tempting to just sit back and let the words just flow over you. But this morning, we're going to be pretty intentional. And so I'd like to ask that you turn with me to the scriptures, to Romans chapter 8. And keep that passage open to hear from our Lord today a kind of encouragement and a strengthening that'll help you cope not just with winter, but with all our lives. So on page 1757, Romans 8, beginning at verse 18. Romans 8. Beginning at verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as children, for the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already sees or has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, don't put those Bibles away. I watched your action. Going to put it back in the slot. No. Not this time. In verse 22 and 23 and 26, the word groan is prominent as the action word. And so please keep your Bibles open. You've got in front of you the deepest Pauline theology that he wrote as he wrote to the center of the Western world's powers and significance. And he writes to the Romans his vision of the world and of its future and of the people in it. This is Black History Month. February is. And Black History Month brings to mind important people who have changed the course of history, obviously in their economic suffering, in their physical suffering, in their sociological, in their complete suffering for 400 years as slaves in North America. You know, millions of them were brought on old wooden ships. Millions. Hundreds of thousands died just in the trip. Some of our reformed forefathers and mothers grew very wealthy from the slave trade. Some of the churches built in Europe were financed. The great churches of Europe were financed with money made in the slave trade. we who are of a light-skinned, privileged, entitled, enlightened people need to be more honest and understanding about what history has done to the peoples of the world. And I bring this up to you today because out of that people was a man named Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was born in 1899. He was raised by his grandmother in Florida, a woman who had been a slave. With that kind of credential, you would think Howard would turn out to be a loser by our Western enlightened words sometimes. The contrary happened. Howard Thurman became a great philosopher, theologian, teacher. Howard Thurman shaped the truly first multi-ethnic church in California in the 1940s. This is what Howard Thurman says. Don't ask what the world needs. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. And go and do that. Because the world needs people who have come alive. And Romans 8 is one of those passages to make you come alive. And it's deeply honest. It is a gripping passage. I mean, all scriptures inspire, and lots of scriptures inspires in different ways. But I can't think of a more deeply profound passage than Romans 8 to encompass the whole world, and then you and me in it personally, and then what God does, who God is. The world, you and me, and what God does. That's what this is about. See if you can come alive this morning a little. It doesn't take much for us to be discouraged about the world and the shape it's in. The world and the troubles it's in. The world and the huge, humongous questions before it that are unanswerable and worrisome. The climate change, the vast things upon us that were beyond, it's beyond our understanding. The big picture is so overwhelming, it can stifle you. And Romans 8 speaks about it this way, that the creation waits for the revealing of God through his children. Romans 8 says, well, you saw it in verse 22. The creation groans. Now, when he uses the word groan, it doesn't just mean like you do for a bad joke. Oh. It isn't that kind of groan. It's not cheesy or thin. The Apostle Paul uses a word, well, he describes it himself. It's like a woman in childbirth. Now, this is not an easy picture for some. And I'm a guy. I've had four children, so I know a little about it. But really, some of you women should speak this passage. It's a picture word, a sound word, that indeed cuts deep, the deepest of human experience, to wrench out of you a sound, a feeling. And Paul says, that's like childbirth, the pain of childbirth. And the creation does that. The creation is wretching. Now, understand this. This was written in Paul's time, nearly 2,000 years ago. What an amazing passage to capture in words what's going on in his world and how relevant it is for ours. The more you know about the world, the more you see everywhere it's evident how close you can be to the world events all the time, how much we see the world groaning in pain, hunger and violence, drought and the fires that have been the last years, the colossal impact of human footprints and human carbon dioxide manufacturing on our plant life, on the creation just groans, says Paul, in his time. How much more for ours? We have a groaning creation. Creation that it just retches with the pain of distortion and destruction. Now I know that we in this part of the world do fairly well in it, but if you're honest, you have your fears about its future. I talked to a man this week in my son's neighborhood. My son is having a huge house renovation, and I kind of walked with this older guy, and we're talking about our children, and I said to him, you know, all this vast construction. He says, yeah. He says, I don't think these kids realize that the world may only have about 50 years left. And I said, it's not in our hands, is it? This world is not in our hands. Nobody said, but I worry for my kids and my grandkids. And I said, I'm a Christian, but I do too. A groaning creation. It's everywhere and always, if you're honest and truthful, and it can get you down. But, says Paul, this is in anticipation. This is sort of a waiting. That's what this is about. It doesn't just groan. It's subject by God to the hope that it will be delivered. Look at verse 21. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That the redemption that God has in mind for his people also affect all creation. And that the groaning is for glory, ultimately. Can you take that home with you today? That the troubles you see in the world, the news you know about, and the worries you have for this vast world, this creation, and its groaning is an anticipation of the glory that will come, the renewal. Christ says, I will make all things new, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, a picturesque way of saying it will be transformed. Be hopeful. That groaning you see and you feel and you hear in various ways, in various imageries, that's about renewal. It's coming. Stay strong, people. The creation groans in anticipation. A new birth is coming. And you say, wait a minute. It's not just the creation. I'm groaning. And it's not about bad jokes or silly concepts. I have my troubles with the bleakness of things, the worry of life. How does it say in verse 23? Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we await eagerly for the adoption as children, the redemption of our bodies. If we are honest, it's not such an easy life. I mean, for us it is in some ways. We, you know, Howard Thurman was a child of a slave and born into a slavery history that we don't, and he was hopeful. He said, fight against the spirits of the times. But we have trouble with that, fighting against the spirits of our times. They suck us in. They spit us out. We are people who also worry deeply. We put on happy faces. We put on better clothes. We tidy up a house and do home renovations. And we make the best of it. We buy nicer vehicles. We have an incentive. You're starting a new job tomorrow. Yeah. And hopeful. And some of you have jobs that are very tough because you deal with aging and troubled folks who you know are on the way out. And on your beds at night, you worry about your friends, your family, your kids, if you have any, your extended families, the world. You also groan. And maybe you don't groan out loud. But it's in you to also have inside of you are kind of a retching about what life is and you were. It's hard sometimes to be hopeful. And it's so complicated. You can have all these things we call blessings and still be depressed. The human condition is not an easy one. We who are given brains and thoughts, we who love love and love to be loved, we have such a struggle with it. Most songs are about the brokenness of love. This week's holiday that's coming, midweek, will be a bit of the phoniness of what we mask our lives with. But my, how we long to be loved and to love back and have that be received. And when it's not there, how that hurts. We fake it till we make it. We put a mask on it. We add chocolates and flowers, perhaps, a card. But it's tough. And we humans also groan, it says. So the creation groaned. It belches out its disappointment that things are not the way they're supposed to be. And then you and me, we also do that. We do our best to fake it sometimes because you don't want your people around you to know how you really feel. So we mess. Thank God we can do that. We're not going around being negative all the time. But let's be truthful. And that's why this passage is so utterly relevant. Paul says, the whole creation groans and we groan. And then the third thing. Oh, look at that in verse 26. Keep your eye on it. And in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know that we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We've talked about the world and its groaning. We've talked about people, you, me, and our groaning. And if we groan, how much more those, say, in hungry places of other continents or inner cities or dealing with their addictions, how much do they groan? And the third groaning is Holy Spirit groaning before the throne of grace. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Here's the picture that Paul wants to have you have somehow. At least I think this is how you might shape it. That you in your groaning, in your sadness, in your struggling to try to make sense of life, and the world's people, and the world's situation, and that God already knows this. And that the Holy Spirit is busy with the same kinds of sounds before the Almighty God's throne, bringing us to God in a way that we can't. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Sometimes our prayers are just routine. They're just like little kids' prayers. And give us this daily bread and forgive us our sins. These are the simple prayer that Jesus taught us. Your kingdom come. Or sometimes you beg for someone's health or your own. And then you know you're not much of a perfect prayer. You're no profound priest. You're not an eloquent speaker. And you think, my prayers are inadequate. They sound kind of rote, and I don't worry about that. There's a Holy Spirit interceding in the place of us, between God and us, and he's groaning. The same strong word is used, that he is moaning and groaning the truth of our lives and the life of the world before Almighty God. It's known to God. It's held by God. It's going to be changed by God. Isn't that a comforting thing? That God's own Spirit groans? That what you do as human beings in your troubles and things and the way you deal with life's stuff, the Holy Spirit knows it too. Let me add something to this now. Go back to verse 26. Look at that with me. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I need to help you. This is not that I'm trying to show off here, but the Greek language does not mean help. It doesn't say the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It says the Spirit participates in our weakness. That's a different thing, isn't it? If you help somebody, that's a good thing. But if you participate, if you join in, if you feel their feelings, if you try to grasp those feelings, if you try to get into their lives, that's deeper. That's what you want in relationship, in love. It says the Holy Spirit participates in our weakness. I find Romans 8 to be a powerful passage with such current meanings. You wonder, how on earth did we get that here in the 21st century when Paul wrote it in the first century? How does that happen? How does that happen that something so long ago is so vitally current for a world like we have, with the whole creation groaning and you and me groaning? You know, they sell more drugs and misery in North. It's a multi-billion dollar industry to try to combat how we feel, how we groan with the drug industry. I just read in the paper this morning, or was it yesterday, 900 people, my son and daughter-in-law have lived in Philadelphia, and 900 people died there last year from opiate addiction. They died on the streets, not just Philadelphia. And I think of British Columbia, thousands of people. I think of good old Canada, thousands of people. The groaning of this world, the groaning of people, and this passage seemed to know that that's what it would be in time to come, until Christ returns and makes all things new. That this passage, by the power of the Holy Spirit, inspires today to save the creation groans, and does it ever. You can't watch your television without groaning along with it and saying, it's a groaning mess sometimes. It's good, lots of good things, but there's also a lot of groaning. And then there's you and me, the truth of our lives, our inner lives that we don't share too often, the thing we kind of mask. And then you discover that the Holy Spirit participates in our lives, in our weaknesses. He's in on it. He groans. That God himself is groaning to himself about things until all things are made new in Christ. Howard Thurman said, the movement of the Spirit of God in the hearts of men and women means you have to act against the spirit of the world. You got to act against the groaning of the world and yourself. And you got to remember that that spirit groans with you. There's got to be, says Howard, in every life, some room, some place where you feel and know that God's Spirit is in you and over you. And I love that line. Don't ask what the world needs. Don't ask what your community needs. Don't. Of course, be interested, but don't always go around asking, "Well, can I help you?" Or "What do you need?" Huh? Ask what makes you alive and hopeful, and go and say that and do that. Become what people around you need, in terms of you coming alive and you having hope. Three groans for glory. The world groans the truth of itself. It needs to be not just changed a little, but made new in Christ. You groaned, and you know the truth of that. You need deep, deep salvation, deep, deep love of God. It comes through prayer and hope and reading the scriptures. It comes through being like this in church together. You need the voice of God. Remember, you've probably forgotten this. I was here in January, and I preached about Romans 7. You may have forgotten this, but the chapter just before this one. And in Romans 7, we said, there are three voices, really, not just two. There's your voice, negative voice. I'm not, where we do evil stuff because it's self-serving, to the point where we sometimes say, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then there's that second voice, where the good you that tries hard, and you know you're not perfect. So even the very best you do is tainted with imperfection. You, like elders and deacons, we know this. We're in church meetings. We see the church as what it really is, but we cling to the hope that God has. But it's not us, it's God. And I said to you then in Romans 7, there's a third voice. It is the voice of Jesus, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden. And this morning we hear it in this kind of way, that the Holy Spirit participates in our weakness. He is in us, we are in him. So the creation groans for glory that's coming. You groan hoping for the glory that is coming. You don't see it, it says. You don't see it, but it's there. If you saw it, you would already have it. But it's coming. And the third thing, the Holy Spirit groans for your glory. What's your prayer life like as you think about the world and yourself and God? Three groans for glory. The creation as it anticipates God's renewal. You groan because the truth of life is that it's tough sometimes and you need to be hopeful, you need to be redeemed. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us with groans beyond words, all for you and me before Almighty God forever. Let us pray. Thank you for this passage, Lord. It's complicated. But boy, does it cut to where we are today. The world, ourselves, and you. And you're the one who loves and participates in our weakness. You're the one who holds us and brings glory to the groaning. Three groans for glory today, Lord. In Jesus' name, we accept the truth of the word. And we ask that it filters into our words and thoughts all the time, and that we are held and made yours in the hope of that glory. Thank you for worship. Thank you for music. Thank you for the people gathered here. Thank you for the hope for this church in this place and this time. Help us to groan for glory in the hope that you will bring all things to completion in Christ. Thank you for the truth of the word today. And thank you for the Holy Spirit groaning our lives before you, all because you love us unconditionally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.